Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It's been very clear. You had a very clear position. The president had a very clear position, which is we need a clean CR. We need to open the government before you will engage in negotiations. Republicans were pretty clear earlier today. They want to negotiate before you reopen the government. Is that
not going to happen?
This is Michael Savage with All Things Conservative Considered. Welcome to the program. Yeah. Try to think about what I'd be doing if I wasn't on the radio. Let's say I walked off the stage like Johnny Carson. So I'd be in a cafe in North Beach in San Francisco talking to fools, mainly people on SDSI, crazy checks, people who've never worked a day in their life. And that wouldn't last too long. So I'd have to build or buy a cafe and invite people in who might be conservative, the few in the Bay Area who are. And I would say to them, as I served them their cappuccinos or sat in the back, in a suit with the dog, what are the issues that are grieving you? What are your grievances with Obama and the Socialist Democrat Party USA? What are your grievances with Jerry Brown and the Socialist Democrat state of California where there is a one-party system? And I would ask you what your grievances are, because there are many grievances in this country. You can be dismissed by the media as non-existent, but there are probably 30 to 50 million of you who are pissed off and fuming, and you can't take it anymore. These people have hijacked your lives. They won't compromise with you. They won't give you the time of day. They disrespect you. They make believe you don't exist, and yet you pay the bills. You pay the taxes. And they know that by pandering to the illegal aliens and pandering to the welfare class, they can simply get reelected over and over again. That's called demagoguery. And that road leads directly to what has occurred in many dictatorships before. It doesn't matter whether Jerry Brown is a nice guy inside. It doesn't matter whether Obama's a nice man inside. What matters is where this goes, what the road is, where does the road take us. So I would ask you, what are your grievances with Obama and the Democrat Party USA? I would say that they are these. I would say they are, one, high taxes. Two, immigration. Three, gun control. Four, energy policy. Five, homosexual marriage being jammed down your throat. What are your grievances against the one-party state that Obama and the Democrat governors of states like California have created in this country? Do you have any grievances? What are they? The phone number is 855-400-7282. 855-400-7282 is the phone number to reach more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life on the Savage Nation. There are other stories, obviously, and I'm not going to talk about them. I would rather have root canal than talk about Obamacare. I would rather get root canal with anesthesia than hear the word Obamacare ever again. I'd rather have a tooth transplanted into my head than ever have to listen to any conservative belly aching about Obamacare ever again. I don't know how anyone can take it. How could that be the entire be-all and end-all of the Republican Party? Yes, it's socialized medicine. Yes, it's Fidel Castro care. Yes, it's a catastrophe. But you see, my position would have been a little different than that of Ted Cruz, who has, self-asphyxiated from autoeroticism. I would suspect that Ted Cruz has asphyxiated from this sort of self-eroticism he's been engaged in. It doesn't mean he's a bad guy, but he has asphyxiated himself with this position. I, on the other hand, would have let Obamacare take effect, and I would have voiced my opposition to it, as I have in two of my best-selling books, Trickle Down Tyranny, Trickle Up Poverty. I warned you what would happen, and I would have simply stood on the sidelines and let this disaster unfold and lay it at the foot of Obama, Pelosi, Feinstein, Boxer, Reid, and the whole Democrat Socialist Party USA. By stepping into the battle, knowing they could not win, and losing, which they have already lost, what they've done here is lost all of their, not credibility, no, not amongst the people who know what this is. They've lost their political capital with the large swath of independent voters out there who are fed up with losing. They're fed up with losing. They don't want to be associated with a losing party. And that's all they see going on here. Obama, on the other hand, is showing his true self. He would rather stand there like the petty dictator that he really is. He'd negotiate with Iran, who slapped him in the face four times. He negotiates with terrorists. He spits in the face of the Republican Party. He spits in the face of veterans. He spits in the face of the American taxpayer. He panders to illegal aliens, as they did in Washington, D.C. just the other day, with that horrible image of Nancy Pelosi pandering to non-citizens while closing down the Capitol to veterans. Does it get any lower than this? Does it get any lower than Nancy Pelosi pandering to non-citizens, to a mob, while spitting in the face of war veterans? So what are your grievances? I've told you what I think they are here on All Things Conservative Considered. I would say that they're high taxes, immigration, gun control, energy policy, and homosexual marriage. Can you add to that list? Would you disagree with that list? This is The Savage Nation, the most skeptical show in radio. Let's begin on KSFO in San Francisco. Christine, thanks for joining the conversation. What are your grievances?
Michael, I'm a Savagette from as long ago, when you and your son were together at one of your events, just so long ago, and I thought your son was so incredibly handsome, I just couldn't take...
Oh, remember when he ran for office in Marin County? What a mission of despair that was with this communist. You know that they tore down his banners. They wrote Nazi signs on his posters when he ran as a Republican. A young man who built a business on his own. These communist slime here in Marin County treated him as though he were a fascist Nazi simply for not wanting to go along with the program.
Michael, you know, ignorance is really an ugly, ugly thing. And what I want to say, my grievance is, first of all, my mother, 93, loves you, and she listens to you every night. She'll call me at work. She'll say, hurry up and get home. Michael's really pissed tonight. Or she'll just, you know, he's on a roll or something. But
I'm trying not to be pissed ever again. I'm trying to be focused rather than pissed. And there's nothing worse in radio than a sort of false righteous indignation. A daily dose of false righteous indignation is enough to make anyone turn your show off. So I'm saving my energy for January 1st and January 2nd, 2014, when my audience will be 4 to 5 times larger. You'll hear a little different show then, I'm sure. Maybe not too different in some ways, but different in other ways. So what are your grievances tonight, Christine?
My grievances is that I'm twisted. I'm twisted up inside, like I have a knot in the pit of my stomach, and I feel like crying. And the reason I feel like crying all the time is I feel as though this country, and my father was a Marine in World War II, I feel as though this country is in the grip of evil, and I feel it viscerally.
Do you feel Obama himself as the personification of this evil?
I do.
Now, this is a very important question. Why Obama? Bill Clinton was certainly morally much worse than Obama. Did you have the same feeling with Bill Clinton?
No, I did not.
Well, that's an interesting statement that you just made. They were Democrat socialists, but there were quite a few major differences between how the Clintons ran this country and how the Obamas are running the country. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I agree entirely. Obama was a media creation.
And yes, he was handpicked by the Caesars of Hollywood long before anyone ever heard of him. They poured tens of millions of dollars into campaign funds for him, and they did it for one reason only, and that was gay marriage. That was the only thing they wanted, and they got that. That's all they wanted out of him. They certainly can't be happy with the high taxation, can they?
No, you want to know something funny. I work in San Francisco in the financial district, and most of the individuals that I work with, my colleagues, are liberal, And we get along fine as long as I don't bring, you know, any issues up about, you know, the Affordable Care Act or whatever. But it's very interesting now that our premiums are going up 18% to 20%. All of a sudden, everybody is just, whoa.
Oh, you mean the liberals are shocked? The ignorant liberals thought that it would be free? They believe Nancy Pelosi, that liar, when she said it's affordable and it would be cheaper? They believe the word that came out of her trap? It shows you how stupid they are, how gullible they are, and the danger we're in.
Yes, and they don't care to scratch the surface of any issue.
Well, because it's easier to just float along like a butterfly and be picked up in a butterfly net, which is what they have had happen to them. Obama has picked up all of these butterflies and put them in his net of deceit. His net of deceit. Well, I think you've touched on an interesting point, which is that Obama actually creates more of an anxiety attack in you than did the Clintons, even though they were just as liberal as he is. And we still don't know why. You still can't define it, can you?
Well, I mean, Bill Clinton, I mean, I kind of, you know, I would look at him and I would say, nah, this guy's a womanizer. It's kind of a slime ball, but at least he knows how to negotiate, you know, with both sides.
You see, you just hit the nail on the head. Bill Clinton was a man willing to compromise. Bill Clinton was willing to meet Republicans. Bill Clinton, in fact, worked with Newt Gingrich, if I remember correctly, to rein in some of the government spending. Obama, on the other hand, is on an express train to nowhere. It's an express train to ruination. How could these foolish liberals not see where this is leading?
You know what, Michael? It's evil.
I understand why. It's not evil. It's ignorance. But you're right. Now that it's hitting them in the pocketbook, suddenly they're squeaking. And as you well know, there's nothing more pleasant than to watch liberals start to complain about high taxation, which they asked for, which is nothing more than what Obamacare is. It's high taxation. That's why the IRS will be coming after all the good liberals of San Francisco, Marin County, and the East Bay, and every other liberal county in America, if they don't sign up for Obamacare, which is nothing more than Castro Care, made to make certain that the 30 to 50 million illegal aliens are given gold-plated medical systems, and every other person in America who could not be insured is given the best medical care in the world. Bring them all in. Take a guess who's going to pay for it. Why, your liberal friends in San Francisco's financial district. But again, I don't want to go down the Obamacare road. It's boring. I'm asking you what your grievances are. That young lady expressed something a little different than a grievance. She said that there's evil in the land. She sees liberalism different than just an alternate opinion of how a government should be run. She sees them as evil. I don't think she's alone. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to All Things Conservative on the Savage Nation. Now, the phone number here is 855-407-282. Yeah. So what I'm talking about are the grievances that you have against this government, whether the government be the single-party government of this state of California, where I'm based, or the nation itself. It seems to be a one-party system with an arrogance that I've never seen except in dictatorships. They take a pleasure in saying screw you to the other side and the American taxpayer. Make no mistake about it. That's why you're pissed off. It's not based upon something wrong with you. It's based upon their arrogance and their policies. It's not based on fantasy. Think about what this battle is over. One side wants to keep spending money as if there is no tomorrow. Tax and spend, tax and spend, tax and spend. So you got this fraud Obama who was created by George Soros in Hollywood, who comes along and runs the debt up five times greater than it was when he came along, and he says he's a fiscally sound individual who's out for the average American. Now, who would believe that? Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, Harry Reid, you name them. Those who are dipping their mouths into the trough unlike any time in American history without any oversight, feasting on the blood of the taxpayer, drinking the blood of the taxpayer, and saying you can do nothing about it. If you don't pay the exorbitant tax on socialized medicine that we've created for you, we'll send the IRS after you. We'll send the thugs after you. So is this the republic that you grew up in? Of course it isn't. And how does it stop? Where does it stop? Where are your grievances is the question. High taxes are killing working people. But there are other issues. There are social issues that neither party will address. Social issues such as out of control immigration, homosexual marriage, energy policy that is insane, and gun control. What are your grievances? Let's go to the callers, beginning on the East Coast, WMAL in Washington, D.C. Daniel, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr.
Daniel.
Savage,
yes.
Let me just cut to the chase here. I really don't have a grievance per se. Mine is anger and hatred for what I know is taking shape in America. And for me, it's not necessarily a liberal establishment per se, nor Obama, because he's simply one man. For me, it begins with the heartbeat and the catalyst and the nucleus of the indoctrination of propaganda, which has been born out of the universities and colleges of this country, in conjunction with Madison Avenue, Hollywood, the news media, the influx of tens of millions of foreigners to this nation, the black community, the feminist movement, and the homosexual plague, all designed to destroy, to marginalize, eradicate, and extinguish the white heterosexual male in this country.
You have to add one other word to the white heterosexual male. It is the white Christian heterosexual male who has been targeted by these groups you just mentioned. And I can prove it when I come back from an affidavit that I just got from the criminal court of the city of New York, county of Queens, where two Muslim immigrants, more of which we desperately need in America, were arrested because they wanted to cut the eyes out of American whites. When I read to you what they wrote about whites, you'll ask yourself, how can this country stand one more day?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I've asked you what your grievances are against the one-party state of California and the one-party state of the United States of America. The reason I say we have a one-party state in America is because we have a dictator, let us say a crypto-dictator in the form of Obama, who will not negotiate with the other party, which in essence makes him a dictator. If you won't compromise, if you won't meet someone, never mind halfway, how about meeting them 10% of the way? No, he's enjoying this. He made it personal. He doesn't care about America. He cares about Barry. Barry must win because Barry has always won because he's a coward and he's a bully and he picks targets that he knows he can beat. Have you seen him stand up like this to Iran? Have you seen Barry Obama stand up like this to any dictators on the planet? He bows to the Saudi king, bows to the China's leaders. He bows to the leaders around the world who are much more powerful than him, and he spits in the face of the Republicans and the American people. And that's why you feel sick. That's why you know something is wrong. What you feel is a danger in the air, don't you? You feel a danger in the air. You feel as though the spy agencies who should be looking at enemies who will hurt you and your family and this country are actually afraid of you, not afraid of the enemies. That's what you fear. You fear as though every one of your intelligence agencies has been compromised or taken over by almost anti-American forces. You feel as though it's a science fiction movie where a group of Martians have taken over the country, don't you? That's what you fear. I told you before the break, and there was a transmitter glitch as we went out of the hour, where I told you what these Muslims who were captured in Queens were saying. Somebody hit something in the transmitter, or it was an error, and the words I told you were cut off as I said them. Two immigrants, now good U.S. citizens, Humayun Ghulam al-Nabi, Ismail al-Sarabi, are the defendants. The people of the state of New York County of Queens, are prosecuting them in the criminal court of the city of New York because they were raising money in support for an act of terrorism in the second degree. And if you read some of the statements that they were caught saying on tape, you'll see it's very personal for a defendant, Humayun Ghulam Nabi. One is a Palestinian, the other is a Pakistani. Isn't diversity grand? Don't immigrants make America more American? I mean, that's what Nancy Pelosi said. They make America more American. So these two Americans were nabbed as they were trying to raise money in the role of terrorism. And they said certain things on tape that you probably won't see in your paper. I found it in today's New York Daily News. Here is one of the defendants, Nabi, the Palestinian, who said this, quote, "We have got to learn their methods. They can read eyes like immigration agents. Dogs, they read your eyes. Look in the eyes, especially when talking to whites. If you want to kill them, you need wisdom and Allah's help. Use their methods against them. They are bastards. We have to educate. This is what they are doing. They are raping our sisters, bastards. If you want to kill them, use their methods against them. They are bastards, bastards, bastards," say these wonderful immigrants. "Raping our sisters." You heard what he said? There's much more in the deposition of this fabulous, fabulous Muslim immigrant to America who was captured, thank God, to the work not of the United States intelligence services, but to the work, thank God, of the NYPD. They raised money and sent it overseas to Lahore, Pakistan, in order to help their brothers kill whites, because they were good brothers in Pakistan, and they hate you. They hate your guts. If you see hatred in their eyes as they walk down the streets of America, it's not your paranoia, it's not your racism, it's your instincts. But tell that to Dianne Feinstein, tell that to Nancy Pelosi. Tell them that you're crazy and you're paranoid, because you know that they love you. And you don't know why you fear they hate you. Two Taliban supporters arrested in New York trying to raise money and supplies for terrorists in today's New York Daily News. That's the headline in the Daily News. I'll read you the headline in the Daily News again. Two Taliban supporters arrested in New York trying to raise money and supplies for terrorists. Now I'll read you the government news, NBC. New York man charged with aiding Taliban. Do you notice the change from the psychopath sent to journalism school who worked for ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, and Fox News? New York man. He was a man, a generic man. No identity. No identity whatsoever. So they would like to cut your eyes out. They call you dogs. They spit at you behind your back. And you support them with every benefit known to mankind. And you wonder why people are at a breaking point in America. Oh, by the way, they're entitled to the health care, too. The greatest health care in the world. Even if they are caught conducting terrorism, they'll get better health care than your father ever had. So I ask you again on the Savage Nation tonight. It's a difficult night, Thursday, October 10th, 2013. What are your grievances? What are your grievances? I can tell you what mine are. High taxation without representation. Out of control immigration, which will destroy the fabric of America forever. Those are the number one and number two grievances that I have. There are many others. The attempts to take guns away is a very dangerous policy. The sliming of our culture, the Hollywood vermin and the sliming of this culture is perhaps on the top of my list. The slime and the filth that comes out of the sewer pipe of Hollywood that is dumped into the minds of our children and to those around the world appalls me. I can't even name the movie I saw last night, but I watched something I couldn't believe a human being would make it. It was about a model in New York City who was drugged in a club and taken home and tied up and treated as a captive in someone's basement. I tried not to watch it. I kept going back to it, and it got increasingly vile, increasingly insane. And I said, surely there must be somebody in Hollywood who would not put money into a thing like this. This is not just a horror movie. It's along the lines of those movies, Hostel and whatever, who in any sane society, the manufacturers of such deviant filth would be put into a mental hospital. Whoever made such movies would be put into an insane asylum. Because in order to conjure up the things that they do to people in these movies, you have to be insane yourself. And you know what effect it would have on marginal people. Why do you think we have marginal people going off like rockets across the country? It's because of people like Tarantino, whatever his name is, Taranto, Weinstein, and the other purveyors of filth and violence, in my estimation. They're driving people who are marginal insane. They're driving them over the edge. Instead of making a movie about Marie Curie or Louis Pasteur, I'm coming up with two names you may not even know of anymore. Let us say noble human beings who've done noble things for the earth, for people, for societies around the world. Instead of making films that ennoble mankind, they go not to the lowest common denominator, Weinstein and Tarantino, whatever his name is, and Scorsese, the great Marty that everyone loves, old Marty. They go to the lowest common denominator of the human soul, places where humans fear to dwell, or to even tread. They won't even go there. And what do you think it does to the human mind to be exposed to these things? What does it do to children? What does it do to young women? What about the pornography that's on the internet? Why is pornography permitted to be disseminated without one word from one congressman about the porno epidemic in America and what it's doing to the young people of this country? How they won't get married, can't get married, don't want to get married. Tell me what that's doing to America. So you say, well, this is all interesting stuff, but I don't hear any of this from any of the politicians. Of course not, because America died a long time ago. But you're actually hearing a true American viewpoint from me. That's what you're hearing. You're hearing not an old America, not a dying America, but the actual America. You're hearing the voice of America today on the Savage Nation. You can marginalize me all you want. You can snicker at me. You can sneer at me. You can say anything you'd like about me. It doesn't matter. Just remember how to spell S-A-V-A-G-E. That's all you got to remember. First name, Michael, because I am actually the voice of America. Every poll that's taken by a legitimate pollster shows that America is centrist or center-right across the board, with the exception, and the rare exception, of enclaves such as New York City, Hollywood, San Francisco, Austin, Texas, and a few other, let us say, special places in the United States of America. And yet this small band seems to think that they represent America. But where have they led us and where are they leading us is the question. And it comes back to the main question of the night on the program. I'm not just going to ramble on. What are your grievances? Let's be specific. What are your grievances? This is a show that's on late at night right now. Soon it'll be drive time. I'm not going to hem. I'm not going to haw. What you're hearing tonight is what you're going to hear on January 1st and January 2nd. January 3rd and January 4th, January 5th and January 6th, January 7th and January 8th, January 9th and January 10th, and February 1 through 28, and March 1 through 31. That's what you're going to hear, is our grievances. Because America must fight back. It doesn't matter whether we won or lost this skirmish over communist care. It will implode on its own accord. They can't get it off the ground because the government can't do anything right. They're no different than Joseph Stalin's bureaucrats who tried to take over agriculture in Russia in the 1930s, and it led to the starvation of 30 million people. See, Joseph Stalin felt that those who were growing the food in Russia were evil. He called them kulaks. Those who owned land and grew the food and fed Russia and the Russian people, and it was a bountiful nation. Wheat lands that went on forever. And it was sort of a capitalist system in Russia at the time. But Joseph Stalin, the godfather of George Soros and his type and his kind, Joseph Stalin said that these are greedy capitalists, the farmers, the kulaks, and that the government could do it better. And so he took the land away from the farmers in Russia. He put the farmers in prison or had them shot for being counter-revolutionaries. He gave them, first he called them names, like you're being called names, right-winger, etc. First they marginalize you with names, and then they take you out and take your property away. Same exact pattern is happening here. The little mini Stalins, the little mini Maos, the little mini Lenins, are here. They're everywhere. But they're no different than mindset. So let me finish the story. What happened when the government of the ex-Soviet Union took over the farmlands of Russia, which once provided a bountiful harvest for all? What happened was 30 million Russians starved to death because the government idiots in Russia under Joseph Stalin are no different than the government morons under Obama. I stand by those words. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now, I told you in the last monologue that you're being marginalized and demonized by the illegitimate left, and you think that this is just rhetoric, don't you? I'm going to play for you an example of how you are being demagogued and marginalized and turned into a hate object by one of the greatest con men of our time, in my estimation, none other than the superb Reverend Jesse Hi Jackson. Listen carefully.
Looking at the re-rise of the Confederacy, the same group narrowly conceived, anti-labor, anti-racial justice, anti-gender equality, anti the big American dream, to try to take us down in 1860 with the Fort Sumter Tea Party, its progenitor. And Lincoln had to fight a war to establish the Union from them and to end slavery. This is the resurrection of the Confederacy.
This is coming from one of the largest cons in the history of America, Reverend Jesse Hi Jackson. A man who's contributed nothing to American society and has feasted off hatred for his entire life. And he's calling those of us who pay his bills and everyone else's bills names. He's saying we're the Confederacy. And he's actually calling for a civil war. And if you think he's doing this because he didn't speak to someone in the White House, you are mistaken. He goes in and out like in a turnstile. Jesse Hi Jackson, the other superb reverend who never got a degree from anywhere, so far as I know, a street bum of the lowest order rewarded by General Electric to keep them off the streets and outside from the front of their buildings, rewarded to keep them off the streets and inside a studio. They're also going in and out of the White House like the old automats in New York City, like through a turnstile at Katz's Deli to feast with Obama. They go through that turnstile and then take a ticket with the other haters. And who are they marginalizing and hating? Who are they demonizing? You and I. They're calling us the Confederacy. They're calling us racists, anti-labor, anti-gender equality, anti-American dream. We provide the money for all of these things. We work. We pay huge taxes. We're robbed to death by these bums in the government who don't know how to stop their insane nymphomaniacal spending. And they're saying that Lincoln had to fight a war to establish the Union from them and to end slavery. So once again, the con man, Jesse Hi Jackson, again wraps himself again in the slavery issue, again wraps himself in the Civil War. I don't see him hungering. Hi Jackson hungering for money? Does he look like he hasn't had a good meal lately? His son is in the slammer because the son wasn't quite as cunning as the father, was he? The son couldn't quite control himself as well as the dad. You forgot that Reverend Jesse Hi Jackson's son is in the slammer. He got caught. This one they can't touch. He's one of the untouchables because we don't have an Elliot Ness. It's a free country. He can say anything he wants. And where does he go to say these things? On General Electric's outlet. On General Electric's outlet, where they put all of the cranks who might cause GE harm by saying, why doesn't General Electric pay its fair share of taxes? How come General Electric earned over $5 billion and paid no U.S. taxes last year? The very people who would be saying that are now given television shows because it's cheap to buy them. It's like buying a prostitute. So they pay the prostitute $500,000, $1 million a year. They give him a suit. They give him a hairdo. They put makeup on him. They have Phil Griffin tell him how brilliant they are. And they keep him behind the cameras there and off the streets instead of being outside the offices of General Electric saying, why are you not paying your fair share of taxes? Well, why are they not outside Google's offices? It was getting away with murder. You seen the top of the report tonight on the Drudge Report? We've known this for years. I pointed it out in Trickle-Down Tyranny. Google shifts billions to Bermuda. They're going crazy over the Google boys in England. They want to arrest them for what they're doing. Google, Dutch sandwich grows as Google shifts 8.8 billion euros to Bermuda. Google funneled 8.8 billion of royalty payments to Bermuda last year, a quarter more than in 2011. More! That's how Save the U.S. Internet grew billions of dollars in taxes. And these are the louts, the Google rats, the Google louts, who parked their 767 aircraft at Ames Research Center because they have friends in high places in San Francisco in government. So they're able to park their private jet, a 767. Gulfstream 500 isn't big enough for them. A G650 isn't big enough for their maniacal CIA ego. They need a Google 767 at Ames Air Force, Ames hangars, and they pay almost no taxes on their money. By routing royalty payments to Bermuda, Google reduces its overseas tax rate to 5%. Did you hear what I just said? Google, invited into the White House by that superb American Barack Obama, who says that the billionaires and millionaires should pay their fair taxes. What a liar. What a liar. He makes my flesh crawl. He's surrounded by billionaires. He only surrounds himself by billionaires. When has he last had a party for the homeless in the White House? Google pays less than 5% a year. It's overseas tax rate. 5%! What's your tax rate? Where do you park your 767? How do they get away with it? It's simple. If you support Obama, and you support Obama's crippling taxation policies for the average American schmuck, working man or working woman, you can get away with paying almost no taxes. Welcome to the new America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, as you mentioned, there are just a lot of folks who work for the federal government. And you know, one of the most frustrating things I've seen in the political rhetoric, not just over the last few weeks, but over the last few years, is people denigrating federal workers. These are the folks who help veterans get their benefits, help to keep us safe, help to keep our water clean, help to make sure that small businesses are getting loans. They work really hard. They don't deserve what's happening right now with this government shutdown.
Looking at the re-rise of the Confederacy, the same group narrowly conceived, anti-labor, anti-racial justice, anti-gender equality, anti-the big American dream, to try to take us down in 1860 with the Fort Sumter Tea Party, its progenitor. And Lincoln had to fight a war to establish the Union from them and to end slavery. This is the resurrection of the Confederacy.
This is SPR, Savage Public Radio, All Things Conservative. 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. So they're playing a two-card Monty on us now. Obama with his dulcet tones, speaking so beautifully about all of the essential government workers, including the 800,000 who were laid off and nothing happened in America. Nothing stopped running, except for the thugs who came out with barbed wire and kept World War II veterans away from their memorial, and the thugs who barbed wired the Vietnam Veterans Memorial closed. Those are the only government workers I see who actually did something that wasn't necessary. But what did the actual shutdown do? Nothing. They're nothing. They're all patronage jobs. They're friends of friends of friends of family friends. They're patronage jobs. They're dead weight. They're sucking we the taxpayers dry. That's what it's all about. And then, of course, you got Jesse High Jackson calling for another civil war, trying to marginalize those who pay his salary and everyone else's salary, the taxpayer, making us into something evil. So I ask you again on the show, as we begin this hour on the program, what are your grievances? What are your grievances? What's making you anxious? What's making you angry about this government? What are your grievances about the government of the state of California, where they mock the fact that they have a one-party system? They laugh at anybody who doesn't like huge, big government and out-of-control government without any checks and balances. The very fraudulent liberals who are running California, do you remember their rhetoric? Oh, did they love the Constitution? They screamed like bloody murder. They wanted checks and balances. They wanted a minority opinion. They wanted their opinions to be heard. And now that they have the power, what are they doing with it? Why, they're abusing it. They're no different than any other thuggery at any other time in history. And unless this thuggery is controlled somehow, it will get much worse. That's how it is. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Lord Acton wrote that. Not Lord Action, Lord Acton. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely, as you can see in the state of California and in the federal government. And before you call on your grievances, which I want to hear about this, remember I was the one who blew the whistle and blew my fuses over that single mom, the black lady with the baby who was executed in Washington about 10 days ago. Remember, I was the only one talking about it, and people criticized me. Some fools called me names. Remember, I said if it happened with a local police department, whoever did the shooting would be taken off duty. Remember that? And I screamed for an investigation. Well, I've got good news, and I've got bad news for you. Because of this show, because I was the only show in America talking about it, they have taken several Secret Service agents and several D.C. police off duty, and they're going to conduct an investigation as to why they shot her. That's the good news. So we had an effect. You want to hear the bad news? Take a guess who the ultimate arbiter will be as to whether or not they used excessive force. Eric, guns to Mexico holder. So it's over. Nobody will be found at fault. It will be called justifiable use of force. Nobody will be punished. Nobody will lose their job. Nobody will go to jail for executing that woman. So there's good news and bad news. And when you have a one-party system, this is what happens. This is what happens. The woman was executed, as sure as I'm sitting here, by a bunch of gun-happy losers, cowards who shot her to death. After the car had been stopped and the baby removed from the car, they executed her for reasons we'll never understand. So because we raised our voices, they're going to throw a little fake little trial, little show trial in reverse at us, and you won't even remember it. Meanwhile, this woman who was executed in cold blood, not one word from that double-talking, marble-mouthed, fraudulent reverend about her death. Not one word about a Confederacy or a Civil War from that double-talking, marble-mouthed fraud, that con man in a silk suit. Not one word from him about her death. Instead, he takes you and lambasts you and calls you Confederacy, a Confederacy. Latest poll, most Americans see gloom and doom ahead, according to Rasmussen Report. Gloom and doom ahead. We're not all stupid. It's not the government shutdown that's depressing people. It's the fact that we have a one-party system out of control in Washington with a narcissistic, uncompromising, radical, leftist running America in the wrong direction. That's what we see. And I said to you, yeah, I understand what Obamacare is. I wrote two books about the excesses of the federal government. Two big chapters, told you what would happen. And I think that Ted Cruz did the wrong thing. And the reason is that I would have let the Democrats own Obamacare. I would have voiced my opposition to it, but I would have done it in a Reagan-esque way. I would have said, wait until you see what happens when they enact Obamacare. Wait till you see the premiums will go up, the care will go down, there will be death panels, there will be long lines, the government can't run anything right. Just wait and see, but we're not going to stand in the way. Let Obamacare take effect. Wait till you see what these dimwits have done to the greatest medical system in the world. That's how I would have run it. That would have been my strategy. But no. We had Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz in love with himself. Sort of an autoerotic asphyxiation of the ego, in my estimation. No different than the other egomaniacs in government. He has the right ideas, but he's no different than the rest of them. It was all about him. He will be gone by the next election. He'll be another Michelle Bachmann. Mark my words. I can tell you right now, I know why, I know how. He will not be a factor. That's my guess. I bet money on it. I bet 16 gold coins on it. He will not be a factor. Why? Because he just lost. And I'll tell you this. Even if he was right, he lost. And America hates losers. America hates losers. They like winners. Ted Cruz right now is a loser like Marco Rubio. They're basically on the ash heap of history, in my estimation. Now, I don't care whether they appear on television shows and radio shows and express their views, which happen to be correct. I am telling you politically, they don't have much of a future. I could be wrong. Maybe you hope I'm wrong. But that would be the Daily Savage tracking poll in my own head. Now let's go to your grievances on the program. Mine are high taxes, out-of-control immigration, and others. But those are the top two for me. When I read that General Electric, Microsoft, and Google, amongst others, pay very low or no taxes on billions of dollars in revenue, and the newspapers don't report it because they own the media. In the case of GE, they were wise to have purchased NBC and MSNBC to control what is said about their parent company. The tax-dodging General Electric was very smart when they bought NBC and MSNBC. Many, many decades ago, there was a limit to how many media outlets a corporation could buy, especially because of, specifically to prevent this kind of propaganda. So they were smart. They bought MSNBC and NBC, and they put people who would be outside their doors demanding they pay taxes inside silk suits with makeup, and they give them a television show. And that way they get away with paying 5% or no percent. But what are your grievances? This is the Savage Nation, the most skeptical show in radio, I admit. Let's begin on KBET Radio. Jeremy, you're on the show. What's your grievance?
Hey, Michael, it's a pleasure to speak with you, man.
Go ahead. What's up? What's on your mind?
My grievance is, you spoke of the media outlets, you spoke of pornography earlier, and that's my grievance, is this government is promoting an immoral society. You know,
that's right. It almost sounds quaint to say the word immoral, doesn't it? When have you last heard family values discussed by one single Republican, including Ted Cruz? Has he mentioned family values ever?
I haven't heard it.
No, I haven't heard it. What ever happened to family values? Did they just go up in smoke? When did they die? When were family values destroyed in America? When did they disappear as a factor in any political discussion? When? Remember family values were built big during the Reagan years? When did they die? When did family values suddenly become a non-issue? Well, for one Obama who should be talking about them, Obama doesn't even carry a stage Bible on Sundays. That's to begin with. Obama basically made God dead. And once Obama made God dead, family values died with him.
I think
it's that simple. But there is a pornography epidemic in America. It is everywhere. The salacious filth that the Caesars of Hollywood produce is polluting the minds of hundreds of millions of people, if not billions of people, around the world.
Yes.
And it is devastating to families. It is destroying children. Thank you for the call. That's on one side of the coin. On the other side of the coin, there are stories that can make your head spin. Maybe this went on before, and we didn't know about it. But I see on the religious side corruption like I've never seen in my life. On the other side of the spectrum, the holier-than-thou religious figures. There are two stories on my website that I'm almost reluctant to talk about because I don't want to trigger any anti-Semitism here. One was of Orthodox rabbis charged with torture and kidnapping. An old rabbi in Brooklyn took $100,000, allegedly. The FBI arrested him and took his computers out. Because he wanted $100,000 to bring in an enforcer to force husbands to get a divorce from Jewish women who wanted a divorce. They're not allowed to get a divorce in subsect of the religion. And so he said, we can get you a divorce for $100,000. We'll bring in the thugs. He has some thug he was using. That's number one. And then there's a story that's even worse. I couldn't believe it. When I first saw it, I said, well, who's doing this? Then I said, you know me, I don't mince words. Let the chips fall where they may. The story is on michaelsavage.com on the left side, and it was about the vandalization of Christian graves in Jerusalem. It showed an old Protestant cemetery, 100 years old, with tombstones thrown over in Jerusalem. I said, oh, that's awful. It must be the Muslims. But it wasn't. It was Orthodox Jews. I said, what? Yes, fanatical, orthodox. See, Fox News had it. Vandals damaged graves in Jerusalem in the latest attack against Christians. So I would have assumed it was Muslims against Christians, but no. In the Protestant cemetery of Mount Zion, you have to read on all the way into it, and you get to this. Police arrested four young Israeli settlers from the West Bank last week in connection with the cemetery attack. You hear this? Two of the suspects had been banned from entering the West Bank because of their connections to the Hilltop Youth, a movement of young Jewish extremists blamed for a spate of attacks in recent years on mosques, Christian sites, and Israeli army property to protest government policy. The four suspects claimed they had entered the cemetery to immerse themselves in a ritual bath there, according to media reports. However, that was an alibi, because there is no bath there. There's only an ancient Jewish ritual bath that was excavated on the premises, but it contained no water. They were making it up. And the staff of the police said they saw religious Jewish youths breaking into the cemetery again on Tuesday and Wednesday. Two of the original suspects were students at a nearby Jewish seminary known for its ultra-nationalist views. Well, it's good to have ultra-nationalist views, but you don't go and destroy gravestones of another religion unless you're a spiteful piece of garbage. I don't care if you wear a filthy black costume and you mumble to yourself and you walk around eating Stella D'Oro pastry and tell yourself you're better than everybody. You're vermin, you're garbage, is what I'd say to them. So don't think that I don't see what's going on. The eye that alters, alters all, and my eye is not altered. The eye that alters, alters all, and my eye is not altered. And I will not alter my eye. I don't care whether it's for Muslims, Jews, or Christians. Nor do I care whether it's for communists or for ultranationalists. Right is right, and wrong is wrong. And north is north, and south is south. And east is east, and west is west. And I shall return.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is Savage Public Radio, SPR, where all things conservative are considered. And tonight I've touched a raw nerve by asking you, what are your grievances? The lights are beyond belief, as I knew they would be, because America is agitated. The taxpayers are agitated at the taxes that are out of control, gun control, energy policy, illegal immigration, the culture wars against the family and against religion. And I'm asking you, what are your grievances? Just because the media doesn't talk about family values doesn't mean that people are not upset at the attack upon family values and the lack of support for family values by the first family. When have you last seen them support marriage and family? When have you last seen Mr. or Mrs. Obama come out in favor of family? When have they even discussed it? They're the putative mother and father of America. Why do they never talk about it? Why don't they glorify their beautiful family? They have a beautiful family. Why don't they ever talk about the beauty of family? Why? Because the people around them don't particularly like the beauty of the nuclear family. That's why. I've got loads of calls, and I'll come back to them, but I want to bring in another topic, which is American exceptionalism. I know it sounds rather academic, but on the Today Show, they couldn't think of examples of American exceptionalism. Listen to clip four, see what we can get out of it.
Are Europeans just better at life than Americans are?
Mm.
Well, the website compiled 16 ways our friends across the Atlantic supposedly have us beat. Okay, here are some of them. Cheese. They're better at cheese.
Yes.
Ooh, yes. Yeah.
Vacation time. Yes. Do you know Austrians get 35 paid days every year?
You hear these morons?
Yes. Chocolate.
You hear these empty skirts? These are the empty skirts on the Today Show. There's not a brain cell between their hair. From one ear to the other, not a single brain cell. Cheese is how the Europeans beat us. Not one word about the greatness of America, past, present, or future.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Are Europeans just better at life than Americans are?
Mm.
Well, the website compiled 16 ways our friends across the Atlantic supposedly have us beat. Okay, here are some of them. Cheese. They're better at cheese.
Yes.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
Vacation time. Yes. Do you know Austrians get 35 paid days every year? Yes. Oh, chocolate.
Yes.
Yes, I would agree.
Okay, and what about this? You know, the Europeans, they love to enjoy a long lunch, perhaps a glass of wine, and an Italian area. And we basically invented fast food.
Right.
All right, here's one other difference. Accents, sexy accents. Here's them versus us.
Okay. And I came back and did another scene from Casablanca, which you cannot do when you are 14.
Que se mentagan informados sobre el huracán Sandy.
Let's hear Penelope Cruz speak with the New Yorker.
You get the picture. You get the picture. This is the Today Show put out by, I don't know what network that is, but it's an example of the pornography that is in the, rampant in the media today. Because to me, these minds are pornographic. They're almost as vile as pornography to me. To see adults not only debasing their own country, but glorifying stupidity, to me is pornographic. And they're struggling to think of examples of American exceptionalism, and they can't come up with it. So listen to clip six now from These Empty Skirts. Six now.
What else does America do better than the Europeans?
Binge TV watching.
Baseball.
Better sports.
Pickup trucks.
Yes. I was going to say burgers and hot dogs.
Yes.
And I was about to say french fries, but...
We created fast food. They copy it. If you go anywhere in Europe, there's a McDonald's.
Better action movies with great
They may have invented pizza. I feel we've perfected it.
There
you go.
USA.
You stupid louts, you. You low-life stupid louts. You're an embarrassment to the human race. Binge TV watching, pickup trucks, burgers, and laughter about America. Of course, I could ask the question, what is exceptional about America? What makes us exceptional? Well, let's start with something basic. How about the U.S. Constitution? Something that these dimwits probably never heard of. The very Constitution and Bill of Rights that gives them the right to chatter like that, they make a mockery of. The Europeans didn't have a constitution. They certainly don't have the same rights that we do in this country. The British don't even have the First Amendment. We do, which of course is what the entire media runs from it, runs off, and these idiots don't know about this element of exceptionalism in America. And this is an example of the debasement of the American mind. You can see it mostly in America, but I wouldn't say that's at the top of the list. I wouldn't say that's equal to high taxation, gun control, out of control immigration, or an attack upon family values, or energy policy that isn't working. What would you say your grievances are? Let's begin with the callers up at the top, KSFO in San Francisco. Drew, you're first up. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Savage. I'm a 40-year-old son of an Asian immigrant born and raised in this, the greatest of all nations. My grievances are immigration, gun control, and taxation, in that order. It takes a military mind with a historical knowledge base as yours to understand what I'm trying to say. World War II, the Allied invasion, D-Day, about 300,000 guys in the initial assault, and from what I understand, about 4 million Allied troops, plus whatever the Russians threw in. That is a theater group-sized operation. Well, I watched a program the other night talking about the Central and South Americans hopping aboard freight trains to the strength, you know, brigade strength on a daily basis. That's 300 to 1,300 men on a daily basis.
Wait, what, you mean coming across our border?
Well, we're trying to get up against our border, moving north, okay? And in a couple days' time, that's brigade strength.
Yes, of course we're being invaded. We're being invaded, and our military has been turned in another direction. They've been turned on the American people to prepare for an insurrection. They were in a joint exercise in Washington, D.C. 10 days ago and put up barriers which caused that woman to get confused and led to her death. What is Obama planning?
Well, sir, our real military is being worn down and languished.
He is purging anyone in the military of the old guard. Any of the old guard in the military is being purged by Obama on an almost daily basis. What does that indicate to you?
It's treason. You look at their.
I see things from a historic perspective. When I see that he fired the number two command in our nuclear arsenal, was purged under the false pretext of having used counterfeit gambling chips at an Indian gambling casino, I knew that the guy was set up. If I were his lawyer, I could have that case dismissed in 10 minutes.
Well,
But Obama didn't hesitate to fire him, did he? He threw him out without a trial. How is that possible? How could he take a man of such experience and of such loyalty to America and throw him out without a trial? I thought that there's a trial first, and then you're innocent or guilty. Why did he purge him?
Anything to cripple this nation's ability to defend itself. You look at how they're going after the main battle rifle of the male population of this nation, and typically known as your AR or AK, semi-automatic rifle with detachable mags. This is a bread-and-butter weapon of the citizenry, okay? By taking it, it is the only effective weapon that can be used to defend us from either invasion, the Gestapo, or rampant motorcycle gangs 50 deep chasing families in their car. That's
an interesting story, that one in New York, because he was an Asian man who was attacked by a motorcycle gang, and I don't know the race of the motorcycle gang. I don't think it was all white men, was it?
Well, it doesn't matter. It's the numbers. I mean, if you look in New York or California, they don't think enough of the slaves to let them have more than 10 rounds or 7 rounds in a magazine. Okay, you're with your family. Everything that justifies your existence. You get 50 guys coming up to your house. Nothing is going to turn them away except a drum-fed semi-automatic rifle. Okay, that is the bread and butter weapon of the.
Well, you could always call the women in the park police to help you, couldn't you? They could stop harassing senior citizens on Mount Rushmore, and all of the feminasties could come and save you, couldn't they?
Well, the only thing they're good for is cataloging your carcass.
Well, you get the picture. I understand. So your grievances are guns, immigration, guns, and taxes. I'm glad you're listening to the show. WABC George, what are your grievances? Go ahead, please.
Okay. My grievances, I believe, are a triad where all the other grievances stem from. The first is the American zombie that feeds on the media Kool-Aid. They allow everything to happen. There's a quotation that everybody is responsible for everything before the eyes of everyone. My second grievance is the doublespeak corrupt government. I don't care which party, they're all corrupt. And third and finally is affirmative action. Affirmative action helped destroy the standards and morality of this country.
Well, it's very clear, very succinct. If I were a professor, which I am not, I would give you an A+ for your deliverance. But it's not quite a deliverance, it's just a spiel on the Savage Nation. But I appreciate it. People are really fed up, and no one asks you what it is that's bothering you. You turn on talk radio all day long, you think it's about Obamacare. Day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out. How could you tie yourself to one issue? I don't understand. And how could you tie yourself to it on a radio show? If you do, you do. And people listen to it, apparently. But there are other issues other than Obamacare. Certainly we understand it's a disaster, but as I said to you before, I would have let Obama and Pelosi and Feinstein and Harry Reid own it. I would have stood on the sidelines and said, I'm telling you what's going to happen. You're going to have terrible care, high costs, and death panels. I would have made it very simple. I would have been Reagan-esque about it. I said, I oppose it, but let them have it. That's what they want. And you would see what would go on. Right now, they can't sign people up because the government can't even put together a website. As you well know, the government can't do anything right. Just look at your mail, when it arrives and how it arrives. They talk the talk about green this and green that, and we want green energy, and your mail truck comes throwing up the street, throwing black clouds of exhaust, which reaches your home before the mail does. I don't blame the postman. My uncle, I told you, was a postman. I have a sympathy for that. But that's the point is not who the postman is. The point is that the Postal Service is inefficient and can't deliver mail as efficiently as Federal Express or UPS or the other services, or email, God forbid, for example, or wiring money instead of sending it by check. Why do you need to go and write a check? Why don't you just wire your money from your bank to the person you're paying? What do you need to go to the post office for? You can't live in the 18th century or the 19th century. We don't have Pony Express. And yet the government rattles along with these trucks. And when they threaten to close the post office, even for one day a week on Saturday delivery, the Postal Service found hundreds of millions of dollars for an ad campaign. We are the Postal Service. We are your friends, the smiling postal people, all the ethnic faces came shining through the postal ads. Where'd they get those hundreds of millions of dollars to tell us that we needed them on Saturdays? For what in the world did we need the postal service for Saturdays? Would have been a good idea. Close them down one day a week. What do you need Saturday delivery for? You don't. It's just patronage jobs in the postal service to build up the pension. That's all. So there's an example of government fraud, government waste. They found the money for the ads, didn't they? So what are your grievances is the main question tonight on the Savage Nation. I tend to try to keep things focused on not single issues so much as focused discussions. Otherwise, we'll be all over the map. Some nights I like to joke around. Some nights I like to be focused. Last night I did readings from my old book, The Political Zoo, and we excoriated a number of politicians. Tonight we're talking about something different, which is the arrogance of power. Fundamentally, what I hear is the arrogance of power, which is nothing new, by the way. Shakespeare wrote about it. If you read the soliloquy, To Be or Not to Be, I believe it's in Macbeth. Remember that long soliloquy that we all know, To Be or Not to Be? That is the question. And then he goes down the list of the grievances that man had in his time. And one of the lines is the arrogance of power. You say, well, okay, Savage, you just undid your argument. You've proven that there's always been an arrogance of power, so what's different about Obama and Harry Reid? Well, my friends, there's a difference. It's called the United States of America and the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. In the 1600s, when Shakespeare wrote, there was no U.S. Constitution, which is why there was an arrogance of power. We were supposed to have a control over an arrogant leader like Obama, but we don't, do we? Make my point, or didn't I? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Will you reopen the government if the president doesn't agree to do anything to change Obamacare?
The bands and butts were candy and nuts. Every day would be Christmas.
Right here. Can you believe that he is the Speaker of the House of Representatives? Delusional. I never saw anything like this. I don't even know what he's talking about. Do you know what he meant? If candies and ands and butts were candy and nuts, that's something a child would say or something you would say to a child. At a time like this, you'd expect something a little more serious than candy and nuts. But that's what we're getting. If ands and butts were candy and nuts, then every day would be Christmas. I have no idea what John Boehner just said. No wonder Obama's knocking their heads together with a basketball and making a mockery of them. It's because he can. He's not this tough with Iran, is he? Is he this tough with Putin? No. Is he this tough with the King of Saudi Arabia? No. Is he this tough with China? No. But he's real tough with Boehner. The Joe Palooka punching bag, John Boehner. That's what it is. It's sad. It's sad to watch. It's pathetic. Because when you have a bully in the White House, and he can beat someone up, like Boehner, he will beat him up. If he can bully them, he will bully them. And you know, by the way, this whole bullying thing is being run by bullies. The ones who talk most about bullying are the bullies, incidentally. But let's not get into that right now. No siree, Bob. I'm asking you again, in the last 5 minutes of this hour on the Savage Nation, what is your grievance with Obama and the Democrat Socialist Party USA, and what makes America exceptional? What makes America exceptional? Billy on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
How's it going? I think that the problem with the politicians, the grievance I have is that the problem with our politicians is that they really exist in their ego. They exist in their foolish pride. And when you...
But wait, let's pause for a minute. The arrogance of power is what you're saying, right, in essence?
But hasn't
this existed since time immemorial?
I'm sorry?
Hasn't this existed since time immemorial, the arrogance of power?
Yes, but you would think, I mean, when a person allows their foolish pride to control them, they're not even controlling themselves. They're just, their pride is controlling them. And the fact is that
well, I think I said it before, which is that, yes, the arrogance of power has always been with mankind, but America was supposed to have a series of checks and balances. And even if you read To Be or Not to Be, and what he's complaining about before he considers suicide, the Shakespearean character. It's about the grievances that he had. And he talks about who would bear the whips and scorns of time, the oppressor's wrong, the proud man's contumely, the pangs of despised love, the law's delay, the insolence of office, and the spurns that patient merit of the unworthy takes. What do you think Shakespeare was doing when he wrote To Be or Not to Be for the average man of his time? He was expressing the grievances, the heartache, the humiliations of the average man. Don't you remember that? To be or not to be, that is the question. Remember when it was written in 1604, whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against the sea of troubles, and by opposing end them, to die, to sleep no more, and by a sleep to say we end the heartache, and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to, 'tis a consummation devoutly to be wished, to die, to sleep, perchance to dream, aha, there's the rub, for in that sleep of death what dreams may come, when we have shuffled off this mortal coil, must give us pause, there's the respect that makes calamity of so long life. For who would bear the whips and scorns of time, the oppressor's wrong, the proud man's contumely, the pangs of despised love, the law's delay, the insolence of office, and the spurns that patient merit of the unworthy takes, when he himself might his quietus make with a bare bodkin? Who would fardels bear to grunt and sweat under a weary life, but that the dread of something after death, the undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveler returns, puzzles the will and makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others that we know not of. Thus conscience does make cowards of us all, and thus the native hue of resolution is sicklied over with the pale cast of thought, and enterprises of great pitch and moment with disregard their currents turn awry and lose the name of action. Soft you now, the fair Ophelia. If I remember it correctly, this little couplet has been in my mind ever since high school when I had to read it in Jamaica High School. How quaint, isn't it? How quaint that I, a boy of mere public school education in Queens, New York, had to memorize the famous opening phrase of a soliloquy in William Shakespeare's play Hamlet. And it's all about whether to take one's own life and why one wanted to take their life, what they were suffering through. And it gives the answer that death might be worse, and it makes a coward of us all. But within that is the issue that we're talking about today, the arrogance of power, in essence. So if you think that that was interesting, I went to a birthday party a few months ago for my friend Dr. Ellis, the great ophthalmologist. And I told you his mother was 95 or 96 years old. I was shocked. We had only 5-6 people there. And she read from Shakespeare from her mind. 96 years old, she remembered Shakespeare, and she learned it also from a public school. In her case, a public school in Bronx, New York, circa 1920. She never forgot her Shakespeare. She was proud of the fact that she could remember her Shakespeare. Now, compare that to the rap lyrics of today. Compare that to the barbarians who rub their crotches and who are lauded with invitations to high places. It's unbelievable, isn't it? And you wonder what the children of tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow will be like. Well, my friends, you pretty much don't have to wonder anymore. They won't be quoting Shakespeare. They will be quoting the crotch rubbers. That's what they will be quoting. That's your tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. And along with that, they will be quoting Karl Marx and Vladimir Lenin, because that is what they're being taught in the public schools of today. They're not being taught about the heroes of World War II. Instead, the heroes of World War II are being barbed wired out of their own memorial by the superb commander-in-chief, the great commander-in-chief, a man greater than any general in American history, Barack Obama, the man who barbed wired the veterans away from their Vietnam memorial and their World War II memorial. What are your grievances?
Join the Savage Nation.
Think about him.
Call now, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to hour number three for the Savage Nation for Thursday, October 10th, 2013. There are many headlines, and it's all about the budget and debt, but here's one you're not going to hear about. Who made most noise about the shooting of that unarmed black lady last week? Me. Who demanded an investigation other than me? Nobody. Who demanded that the Secret Service and Capitol policemen who fired and killed that woman be taken off the streets while the incident is investigated? Michael Savage. No one else. Well, it just happened. Secret Service Capitol police officers reassigned after fatal shooting. Here's the good news. They've been reassigned during the investigation. Here's the bad news. Take a guess who has the final say as to whether anything was done wrongly. The U.S. Attorney's Office will make the final determination as whether the shooting was an appropriate use of lethal force. That means nobody will lose their job. Nobody will go to prison because it's none other than Fast and Furious Attorney General Eric Holder who will sweep this under the dirty rug in the Justice Department. That's what you have when you have a dictatorship with no separation of powers. What do you mean whether it was justified? There is not a police department in the United States of America that would not fire officers who did this. Not one in the country. Many police departments, including the district's Metropolitan Police Department, specifically ban officers from firing at a moving vehicle. Did you know that? But why are federal law enforcement agencies given more leeway? Why are they authorized to fire at a vehicle when we see the vehicle being used as a lethal threat? Why? That's nonsense. That's crap. U.S. Capitol Police were placed on administrative leave after officers fatally shot a man who pulled a gun after a car chase in 2009. There is something wrong here. Well, two officers who are not on the street right now are in a duty status with accordance to our policy, says the spokesmouth. That's not good enough. That is not good enough. Most police agencies place officers on administrative leave during investigations into the use of deadly force. But neither the Secret Service nor the U.S. Capitol Police will divulge their own policies on this issue. They are a law unto themselves, just as Caesar Obama is. It's disgusting. It's a putative victory, but nothing will come of it. It's nauseating. But that's what you have when you have a dictatorship and a one-party Democrat-controlled system. What are some of the other headlines that we're seeing now on MichaelSavage.com? Well, how about repealing Obamacare and replacing it with what was there before it? Good luck, right? How do you negotiate with a president who you can't trust? Some are saying Obama's actions make him unworthy of commander-in-chief. No kidding. We don't know whether there's going to be a deal or no deal. I mean, the debt ceiling fixes up in the air because dictator Obama refuses to negotiate. He will not negotiate. It's got to be his way or the highway. This is what happens in a one-party socialist dictatorship. Let's hear it for Boehner. As wishy-washy as he is, he tried his best. But when you're dealing with a monster like Obama, you can only try so hard. That's why impeachment must be introduced immediately for his behavior. He is a small, mean man who is very dangerous. Dangerous not only for individuals in America, but for America itself. This is the Savage Nation, the most skeptical show in radio. 855-400-7282 is the phone number to reach more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life on the Savage Nation. There are other stories, obviously, and I'm not going to talk about them. I would rather have root canal than talk about Obamacare. I would rather get root canal with anesthesia than hear the word Obamacare ever again. I'd rather have a tooth transplanted into my head than ever have to listen to any conservative bellyaching about Obamacare ever again. I don't know how anyone can take it. How could that be the entire be-all and end-all of the Republican Party? Yes, it's socialized medicine. Yes, it's Fidel Castro care. Yes, it's a catastrophe. But you see, my position would have been a little different than that of Ted Cruz, who has, self-asphyxiated from autoeroticism. I would suspect that Ted Cruz has auto-asphyxiated from this sort of self-eroticism he's been engaged in. It doesn't mean he's a bad guy, but he has asphyxiated himself with this position. I, on the other hand, would have let Obamacare take effect. And I would have voiced my opposition to it, as I have in two of my best-selling books, Trickle Down Tyranny, Trickle Up Poverty. I warned you what would happen, and I would have simply stood on the sidelines and let this disaster unfold and lay it at the foot of Obama, Pelosi, Feinstein, Boxer, Reid, and the whole Democrat Socialist Party USA. by stepping into the battle knowing they could not win and losing, which they have already lost. What they've done here is lost all of their, not credibility, no, not amongst the people who know what this is. They've lost their political capital with a large swath of independent voters out there who are fed up with losing. They're fed up with losing. They don't want to be associated with a losing party. And that's all they see going on here. Obama, on the other hand, is showing his true self. He would rather stand there like the petty dictator that he really is. He'd negotiate with Iran, who slapped him in the face four times. He negotiates with terrorists. He spits in the face of the Republican Party. He spits in the face of veterans. He spits in the face of the American taxpayer. He panders to illegal aliens, as they did in Washington, D.C. just the other day, with that horrible image of Nancy Pelosi pandering to non-citizens while closing down the Capitol to veterans. Does it get any lower than this? Does it get any lower than Nancy Pelosi pandering to non-citizens, to a mob, while spitting in the face of war veterans? So what are your grievances? I've told you what I think they are here on All Things Conservative Considered. I would say that they're high taxes, immigration, gun control, energy policy, and homosexual marriage. Can you add to that list? Would you disagree with that list? So what I'm talking about are the grievances that you have against this government, whether the government be the single party government of this state of California, where I'm based, or the nation itself. It seems to be a one-party system with an arrogance that I've never seen except in dictatorships. They take a pleasure in saying screw you to the other side and the American taxpayer. Make no mistake about it. That's why you're pissed off. It's not based upon something wrong with you. It's based upon their arrogance and their policies. It's not based on fantasy. Think about what this battle is over. One side wants to keep spending money as if there is no tomorrow. Tax and spend, tax and spend, tax and spend. So you got this fraud Obama, who was created by George Soros in Hollywood, who comes along and runs the debt up five times greater than it was when he came along, and he says he's a fiscally sound individual who's out for the average American. Now, who would believe that? Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, Harry Reid, you name them. Those who are dipping their mouths into the trough, unlike any time in American history without any oversight, feasting on the blood of the taxpayer, drinking the blood of the taxpayer, and saying you can do nothing about it. If you don't pay the exorbitant tax on socialized medicine that we've created for you, we'll send the IRS after you. We'll send the thugs after you. So is this the republic that you grew up in? Of course it isn't. And how does it stop? Where does it stop? Where are your grievances, is the question. High taxes are killing working people. But there are other issues. There are social issues that neither party will address. Social issues such as out of control immigration, homosexual marriage, energy policy that is insane, and gun control. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I've asked you what your grievances are against the one-party state of California and the one-party state of the United States of America. The reason I say we have a one-party state in America is because we have a dictator, let us say a crypto-dictator in the form of Obama, who will not negotiate with the other party, which in essence makes him a dictator. If you won't compromise, if you won't meet someone, never mind halfway, how about meeting them 10% of the way? No, he's enjoying this. He made it personal. He doesn't care about America. He cares about Barry. Barry must win because Barry has always won, because he's a coward and he's a bully and he picks targets that he knows he can beat. Have you seen him stand up like this to Iran? Have you seen Barry Obama stand up like this to any dictators on the planet? He bows to the Saudi king, bows to the China's leaders. He bows to the leaders around the world who are much more powerful than him, and he spits in the face of the Republicans and the American people. And that's why you feel sick. That's why you know something is wrong. What you feel is a danger in the air, don't you? You feel a danger in the air. You feel as though the spy agencies who should be looking at enemies who will hurt you and your family and this country are actually afraid of you, not afraid of the enemies. That's what you fear. You fear as though every one of your intelligence agencies has been compromised or taken over by almost anti-American forces. You feel as though it's a science fiction movie where a group of Martians have taken over the country, don't you? That's what you fear. The phone number is 855-407-2822. There are other stories, obviously. Two immigrants, now good U.S. citizens, Humayun Ghulam al-Nabi, Ismail Asarabi, are the defendants. The people of the state of New York County of Queens, are prosecuting them in the criminal court of the city of New York because they were raising money in support for an act of terrorism in the second degree. And if you read some of the statements that they were caught saying on tape, you'll see it's very personal for a defendant, Humayun Ghulam Nabi. One is a Palestinian, the other is a Pakistani. Isn't diversity grand? Don't immigrants make America more American? I mean, that's what Nancy Pelosi said. They make America more American. So these two Americans were nabbed as they were trying to raise money in the role of terrorism. And they said certain things on tape that you probably won't see in your paper. I found it in today's New York Daily News. Here is one of the defendants, Nabi, the Palestinian, who said this, quote, "We have got to learn their methods. They can read eyes like immigration agents. Dogs, they read your eyes. Look in the eyes, especially when talking to whites. If you want to kill them, you need wisdom and Allah's help. Use their methods against them. They are bastards. We have to educate. This is what they are doing. They are raping our sisters, bastards. If you want to kill them, use their methods against them. They are bastards, bastards, bastards," say these wonderful immigrants, "raping our sisters." You heard what he said? There's much more in the deposition of this fabulous, fabulous Muslim immigrant to America who was captured, thank God, to the work not of the United States intelligence services, but to the work, thank God, of the NYPD. They raised money and sent it overseas to Lahore, Pakistan, in order to help their brothers kill whites, because they were good brothers in Pakistan. And they hate you. They hate your guts. If you see hatred in their eyes as they walk down the streets of America, it's not your paranoia. It's not your racism. It's your instincts. But tell that to Dianne Feinstein. Tell that to Nancy Pelosi. Tell them that you're crazy and you're paranoid, because you know that they love you, and you don't know why you fear they hate you. Two Taliban supporters arrested in New York trying to raise money and supplies for terrorists in today's New York Daily News. Now, that's the headline in the Daily News. I'll read you the headline in the Daily News again. Two Taliban supporters arrested in New York trying to raise money and supplies for terrorists. Now I'll read you the government news, NBC. New York man charged with aiding Taliban. Do you notice the change from the psychopath sent to journalism school who worked for ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, and Fox News? New York man. He was a man, a generic man. No identity. No identity whatsoever. So they would like to cut your eyes out. They call you dogs. They spit at you behind your back. And you support them with every benefit known to mankind. And you wonder why people are at a breaking point in America. Oh, by the way, they're entitled to the health care, too, the greatest health care in the world. Even if they are caught conducting terrorism, they'll get better health care than your father ever had. So I ask you again on the Savage Nation tonight. It's a difficult night, Thursday, October 10th, 2013. What are your grievances? What are your grievances? I can tell you what mine are. High taxation without representation. Out-of-control immigration, which will destroy the fabric of America forever. Those are the number one and number two grievances that I have. There are many others. The attempts to take guns away is a very dangerous policy. The sliming of our culture, the Hollywood vermin and the sliming of this culture is perhaps on the top of my list. The slime and the filth that comes out of the sewer pipe of Hollywood that is dumped into the minds of our children and to those around the world appalls me. I can't even name the movie I saw last night, but I watched something I couldn't believe a human being would make it. It was about a model in New York City who was drugged in a club and taken home and tied up and treated as a captive in someone's basement. I tried not to watch it. I kept going back to it, and it got increasingly vile, increasingly insane. And I said, surely there must be somebody in Hollywood who would not put money into a thing like this. This is not just a horror movie. It's along the lines of those movies, Hostel and whatever. In any sane society, the manufacturers of such deviant filth would be put into a mental hospital. Whoever made such movies would be put into an insane asylum. Because in order to conjure up the things that they do to people in these movies, you have to be insane yourself. And you know what effect it would have on marginal people. Why do you think we have marginal people going off like rockets across the country? It's because of people like Tarantino, whatever his name is, Weinstein, and the other purveyors of filth and violence, in my estimation. They're driving people who are marginal insane. They're driving them over the edge. Instead of making a movie about Marie Curie or Louis Pasteur, I'm coming up with two names you may not even know of anymore. Let us say noble human beings who've done noble things for the earth, for people, for societies around the world. Instead of making films that ennoble mankind, they go not to the lowest common denominator, Weinstein and Tarantino, whatever his name is, and Scorsese, the great Marty that everyone loves, old Marty. They go to the lowest common denominator of the human soul, places where humans fear to dwell, to even tread. They won't even go there. And what do you think it does to the human mind to be exposed to these things? What does it do to children?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282.
Not that you're being marginalized and demonized by the illegitimate left, and you think that this is just rhetoric, don't you? I'm going to play for you an example of how you are being demagogued and marginalized and turned into a hate object by one of the greatest con men of our time, in my estimation, none other than the superb Reverend Jesse High Jackson. Listen carefully.
Looking at the re-rise of the Confederacy, the same group narrowly conceived, anti-labor, anti-racial justice, anti-gender equality, anti the big American dream, to try to take us down in 1860 with the Fort Sumter Tea Party, its progenitor. And Lincoln had to fight a war to establish the Union from them and to end slavery. This is the resurrection of the Confederacy.
This is coming from one of the largest cons in the history of America, Reverend Jesse High Jackson, a man who has contributed nothing to American society and has feasted off hatred for his entire life. And he's calling those of us who pay his bills and everyone else's bills names. He's saying we're the Confederacy. And he's actually calling for a civil war. And if you think he's doing this because he didn't speak to someone in the White House, you are mistaken. He goes in and out like in a turnstile. Jesse High Jackson, the other superb reverend who never got a degree from anywhere, so far as I know, a street bum of the lowest order rewarded by General Electric to keep him off the streets and outside from the front of their buildings. Rewarded to keep them off the streets and inside a studio. They're also going in and out of the White House like the old automats in New York City. Like through a turnstile at Katz's Deli to feast. To feast with Obama. They go through that turnstile and then take a ticket with the other haters. And who are they marginalizing and hating? Who are they demonizing? You and I. They're calling us the Confederacy. They're calling us racists, anti-labor, anti-gender equality, anti-American dream. We provide the money for all of these things. We work. We pay huge taxes. We're robbed to death by these bums in the government who don't know how to stop their insane nymphomaniacal spending. And they're saying that Lincoln had to fight a war to establish the Union from them and to end slavery. So once again, the con man, Jesse High Jackson, again wraps himself again in the slavery issue, again wraps himself in the Civil War. I don't see him hungering. Is Hi Jackson hungering for money? Does he look like he hasn't had a good meal lately? His son is in the slammer because the son wasn't quite as cunning as the father, was he? The son couldn't quite control himself as well as the dad. You forgot that Reverend Jesse Hi Jackson's son is in the slammer. He got caught. This one they can't touch. He's one of the untouchables because we don't have an Elliot Ness. He's one of the untouchables because we don't have an Elliot Ness. It's a free country. He can say anything he wants. And where does he go to say these things? On General Electric's outlet. On General Electric's outlet, where they put all of the cranks who might cause GE harm by saying, why doesn't General Electric pay its fair share of taxes? How come General Electric earned over $5 billion and paid no U.S. taxes last year? The very people who would be saying that are now given television shows because it's cheap to buy them. It's like buying a prostitute. So they pay the prostitute $500,000, $1 million a year. They give him a suit. They give him a hairdo. They put makeup on him. They have Phil Griffin tell him how brilliant they are. And they keep him behind the cameras there and off the streets. Instead of being outside the offices of General Electric saying, why are you not paying your fair share of taxes? Well, why are they not outside Google's offices getting away with murder? You seen the top of the report tonight on the Drudge Report? We've known this for years. I pointed it out in Trickle-Down Tyranny. Google shifts billions to Bermuda. They're going crazy over the Google boys in England. They want to arrest them for what they're doing. Google, Dutch sandwich grows as Google shifts 8.8 billion euros to Bermuda. Google funneled 8.8 billion of royalty payments to Bermuda last year, a quarter more than in 2011. More! That's how Save the U.S. Internet grew billions of dollars in taxes. And these are the louts, the Google rats, the Google louts, who parked their 767 aircraft at Ames Research Center because they have friends in high places in San Francisco in government. So they're able to park their private jet, a 767. Gulfstream 500 isn't big enough for them. A G650 isn't big enough for their maniacal CIA ego. They need a Google 767 at Ames hangars, and they pay almost no taxes on their money. By routing royalty payments to Bermuda, Google reduces its overseas tax rate to 5%. Did you hear what I just said? Google, invited into the White House by that superb American Barack Obama, who says that the rich, the billionaires and millionaires should pay their fair taxes. What a liar. What a liar. He makes my flesh crawl. He's surrounded by billionaires. He only surrounds himself by billionaires. When has he last had a party for the homeless in the White House? Google pays less than 5% a year. It's overseas tax rate. 5%! What's your tax rate? Where do you park your 767? What are the issues that are grieving you? What are your grievances with Obama and the Socialist Democrat Party USA? What are your grievances with Jerry Brown and the Socialist Democrat state of California where there is a one-party system? And I would ask you what your grievances are, because there are many grievances in this country. You can be dismissed by the media as non-existent, but there are probably 30 to 50 million of you who are pissed off and fuming, and you can't take it anymore. These people have hijacked your lives. They won't compromise with you. They won't give you the time of day. They disrespect you. They make believe you don't exist, and yet you pay the bills. You pay the taxes. And they know that by pandering to the illegal aliens and pandering to the welfare class, they can simply get reelected over and over again. That's called demagoguery. And that road leads directly to what has occurred in many dictatorships before. It doesn't matter whether Jerry Brown is a nice guy inside. It doesn't matter whether Obama is a nice man inside. What matters is where this goes, what the road is, where does the road take us. So I would ask you, what are your grievances with Obama and the Democrat Party USA? I would say that they are these. I would say they are, one, high taxes. Two, immigration. Three, gun control. Four, energy policy. Five, homosexual marriage being jammed down your throat. What are your grievances against the one-party state that Obama and the Democrat governors of states like California have created in this country? Do you have any grievances? What are they? The phone number is 855-407-2282. So you say, well, this is all interesting stuff, but I don't hear any of this from any of the politicians. Of course not, because America died a long time ago. But you're actually hearing a true American viewpoint from me. That's what you're hearing. You're hearing not an old America, not a dying America, but the actual America. You're hearing the voice of America today on the Savage Nation. You can marginalize me all you want. You can snicker at me. You can sneer at me. You can say anything you'd like about me. It doesn't matter. Just know, just remember how to spell S-A-V-A-G-E. That's all you got to remember. First name, Michael. Because I am actually the voice of America. Every poll that's taken by a legitimate pollster shows that America is centrist or center-right across the board, with the exception, and the rare exception, of enclaves such as New York City, Hollywood, San Francisco, Austin, Texas, and a few other, let us say, special places in the United States of America. And yet this small band seems to think that they represent America. But where have they led us and where are they leading us is the question. And it comes back to the main question of the night on the program. I'm not just going to ramble on. What are your grievances? Let's be specific. What are your grievances? This is a show that's on late at night right now. Soon it'll be drive time. I'm not going to hem. I'm not going to whore. What you're hearing tonight is what you're going to hear on January 1st and January 2nd. January 3rd and January 4th. January 5th and January 6th. January 7th and January 8th, January 9th and 10th, and February 1 through 28, and March 1 through 31. That's what you're going to hear, is our grievances. Because America must fight back. It doesn't matter whether we won or lost this skirmish over communist care. It will implode on its own accord. They can't get it off the ground because the government can't do anything right. They're no different than Joseph Stalin's bureaucrats who tried to take over agriculture in Russia in the 1930s, and it led to the starvation of 30 million people. See, Joseph Stalin felt that those who were growing the food in Russia were evil. He called them kulaks. Those who owned land and grew the food and fed Russia and the Russian people, and it was a bountiful nation, wheat lands that went on forever. And it was sort of a capitalist system in Russia at the time. But Joseph Stalin, the godfather of George Soros and his type and his kind, Joseph Stalin said that these are greedy capitalists, the farmers, the kulaks, and that the government could do it better. And so he took the land away from the farmers in Russia. He put the farmers in prison or had them shot for being counter-revolutionaries. He gave them, first he called them names, like you're being called names, right-winger, etc. First they marginalize you with names, and then they take you out and take your property away. Same exact pattern is happening here. The little mini Stalins, the little mini Maos, the little mini Lenins are here. They're everywhere. But they're no different in mindset. So let me finish the story. What happened when the government of the ex-Soviet Union took over the farmlands of Russia, which once provided a bountiful harvest for all? What happened was 30 million Russians starved to death because the government idiots in Russia under Joseph Stalin are no different than the government morons under Obama. I stand by those words. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, as you mentioned, there are just a lot of folks who work for the federal government. And, you know, one of the most frustrating things I've seen in the political rhetoric, not just over the last few weeks, but over the last few years, is people denigrating federal workers. These are the folks who help veterans get their benefits, help to keep us safe, help to keep our water clean, help to make sure that small businesses are getting loans. They work really hard. They don't deserve what's happening right now with this government shutdown.
Looking at the re-rise of the Confederacy, the same group narrowly conceived, anti-labor, anti-racial justice, anti-gender equality, anti-the big American dream, to try to take us down in 1860 with the Fort Sumter Tea Party, its progenitor. And Lincoln had to fight a war to establish the Union from them and to end slavery. This is the resurrection of the Confederacy.
This is SPR, Savage Public Radio, all things conservative. 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. So they're playing a two-card Monty on us now. Obama with his dulcet tones, speaking so beautifully about all of the essential government workers, including the 800,000 who were laid off and nothing happened in America. Nothing stopped running, except for the thugs who came out with barbed wire and kept World War II veterans away from their memorial, and the thugs who barbed wired the Vietnam Veterans Memorial closed. Those are the only government workers I see who actually did something that wasn't necessary. But what did the actual shutdown do? Nothing. They're nothing. They're all patronage jobs. They're friends of friends of friends of family friends. They're patronage jobs. They're dead weight. They're sucking we the taxpayers dry. That's what it's all about. And then, of course, you got Jesse High Jackson calling for another civil war, trying to marginalize those who pay his salary and everyone else's salary, the taxpayer, making us into something evil. So I ask you again on the show, what are your grievances? What are your grievances? What's making you anxious? What's making you angry about this government? What are your grievances about the government of the state of California, where they mock the fact that they have a one-party system? They laugh at anybody who doesn't like huge, big government and out-of-control government without any checks and balances. The very fraudulent liberals who are running California, do you remember their rhetoric? Oh, did they love the Constitution? They screamed like bloody murder. They wanted checks and balances. They wanted a minority opinion. They wanted their opinions to be heard. And now that they have the power, what are they doing with it? Why, they're abusing it. They're no different than any other thuggery at any other time in history. And unless this thuggery is controlled somehow, it will get much worse. That's how it is. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Lord Acton wrote that. Not Lord Action, Lord Acton. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely, as you can see in the state of California and in the federal government. Remember, I was the one who blew the whistle and blew my fuses over that single mom, the black lady with the baby who was executed in Washington about 10 days ago. Remember, I was the only one talking about it, and people criticized me. Some fools called me names. Remember, I said if it happened with a local police department, whoever did the shooting would be taken off duty. Remember that? And I screamed for an investigation. Well, I've got good news, and I've got bad news for you. Because of this show, because I was the only show in America talking about it, they have taken several Secret Service agents and several D.C. police off duty, and they're going to conduct an investigation as to why they shot her. That's the good news. So we had an effect. You want to hear the bad news? Take a guess who the ultimate arbiter will be as to whether or not they used excessive force. Eric, guns to Mexico holder. So it's over. Nobody will be found at fault. It will be called justifiable use of force. Nobody will be punished. Nobody will lose their job. Nobody will go to jail for executing that woman. So there's good news and bad news. And when you have a one-party system, this is what happens. This is what happens. The woman was executed, as sure as I'm sitting here, by a bunch of gun-happy losers, cowards who shot her to death. After the car had been stopped and the baby removed from the car, they executed her for reasons we'll never understand. So because we raised our voices, they're going to throw a little fake little trial, little show trial in reverse at us. And you won't even remember it. Meanwhile, this woman who was executed in cold blood, not one word from that double-talking, marble-mouthed, fraudulent reverend about her death. Not one word about a Confederacy or a Civil War from that double-talking, marble-mouthed fraud. That con man in a silk suit. Not one word from him about her death. Instead, he takes you and lambasts you and calls you Confederacy, a Confederacy. Latest poll, most Americans see gloom and doom ahead, according to Rasmussen Report. Gloom and doom ahead. We're not all stupid. It's not the government shutdown that's depressing people. It's the fact that we have a one-party system out of control in Washington with a narcissistic, uncompromising, radical leftist running America in the wrong direction. That's what we see. And I said to you, yeah, I understand what Obamacare is. I wrote two books about the excesses of the federal government, two big chapters, told you what would happen. And I think that Ted Cruz did the wrong thing. And the reason is that I would have let the Democrats own Obamacare. I would have voiced my opposition to it, but I would have done it in a Reagan-esque way. I would have said, wait until you see what happens when they enact Obamacare. Wait till you see the premiums will go up, the care will go down, there will be death panels, there will be long lines, the government can't run anything right. Just wait and see, but we're not going to stand in the way. Let Obamacare take effect. Wait till you see what these dimwits have done to the greatest medical system in the world. That's how I would have run it. That would have been my strategy. But no, 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 no. We had Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz in love with himself. Sort of an autoerotic asphyxiation of the ego, in my estimation. No different than the other egomaniacs in government. He has the right ideas, but he's no different than the rest of them. It was all about him. He will be gone by the next election. He'll be another Michelle Bachmann. Mark my words. I can tell you right now, I know why, I know how. He will not be a factor. That's my guess. I bet money on it. I bet 16 gold coins on it. He will not be a factor. Why? Because he just lost. And I'll tell you this. Even if he was right, he lost. And America hates losers. America hates losers. They like winners. Ted Cruz right now is a loser like Marco Rubio. They're basically on the ash heap of history, in my estimation. Now, I don't care whether they appear on television shows and radio shows and express their views, which happen to be correct. I am telling you politically, they don't have much of a future. I could be wrong. Maybe you hope I'm wrong. But that would be the Daily Savage tracking poll in my own head.
Savage.